from 1 Corinthians. Listen for God's word. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greek, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear would say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. And our less respectable members are treated with greater respect. Whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now, you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you still a more excellent way. Here ends the first lesson.
And from the Gospel of Luke. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The gospel passages appointed for today and next week are one continuous story, so I may have to do some remedial preaching at the beginning of next week's sermon. This is one continuous story about Jesus reading scripture and then preaching in his home congregation. This first half of Luke's story invites us to be attentive to the manifestation of God in the person of Jesus. To believe that when he reads this text from Isaiah, somehow God and the ancient promises of God become present in the ears of the hearers. Not only is Jesus among his own hometown folk, but through the fulfillment of his words in their hearing, God comes home to them. It's not until next week that the pace picks up when Jesus begins to preach, and his interpretation so infuriates the congregation, they push him to the edge of town and almost throw him over the cliff. But for today, what we have is Jesus simply performing a truly typical role in ancient Jewish synagogue life. On the Sabbath day, a preacher or rabbi, someone with formal religious authority, would read from the scroll and comment on its meaning. The text for today were the familiar words to all the hearers that Jesus spoke to. The words of the great prophet Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." It's a familiar text. And it's all very ordinary until we get into the last verse of this story when Jesus declares, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." This is the literal cliffhanger of the text because it leaves us in suspense so that we will pay attention to what happens next. Here's why this is so dramatic. Let's assume the year is 25 A.D., give or take. Jesus' hometown of Nazareth was a third-tier place in a third-tier Roman province of Galilee. The village was largely Jewish, and like most Jews for the last 400 or 500 years, these people had thought a lot about the Messiah. They had anticipated the old promises of Isaiah would someday be fulfilled by God's anointed one, the Messiah who was to come. And like most of us, they possessed a certain nostalgia about days gone by, particularly their high water mark as a people under the reign of the great King David. He had his clay feet, as we all remember, but he was nonetheless a victorious ruler of power and might. In the long hopes of their Jewish expectation, they thought the Messiah would be like King David, would come from Jerusalem, the seat of political and religious power. They longed for a king-like Messiah to come in military triumph, who would drive out the Romans and who would restore the nation to its former glory. So you can imagine their shock when the young man whom they had watched grow up in their midst, the local carpenter's son, nobody in particular, despite his emerging reputation as a religious teacher, came home and said, "This long-awaited prophetic vision is fulfilled today in your hearing." Astonishingly, Jesus was claiming for himself the title of Messiah, and they had thought he was just one of them. Well, that's how God had intended it all along, that the Messiah would be just one of them. The good news of freedom and liberation come home up close, in person, in a small town, among ordinary people, fulfilled in their hearing. They heard it right. It just was not what they had expected to hear. For they had no way of knowing that the Spirit of the Lord would rest upon the shoulders of the hometown boy from Nazareth, the son of Mary and Joseph, the young man they had known all his life. But the good promises of God did come home to them in their hearing that very day. For those of us who made our way today through the snow for worship, studying this text, I was reminded of that classic Garrison Keillor story called Storm Home. And I think it resonates with what Jesus did that day in his own hometown. Some of you remember this Prairie Home Companion piece. When Garrison Keillor was a child growing up in Minnesota, the students who, like himself, lived in rural places and attended a school that was a good distance from their own homes were assigned a storm home. The school principal would pair up the children who lived far away with a household in town that could take them in after school in the event that a blizzard might come during the school day and make it difficult for them to get to their own homes safely. Garrison Keillor says that he never actually got to go to his storm home because all of the blizzards of his childhood were convenient ones that took place like the one we've just lived through on weekends or at nighttime. However, he said that just knowing his storm home existed and that he could go there if he needed to was extremely comforting to him. Keillor's imagination brought his storm home to life with vivid detail. He remembers it being a house near a lake inhabited by a kindly older couple. The grounds around the house were filled with all sorts of colorful and fragrant flowers. Keillor also recalls that his storm home had a statue of Mary among the flowers, thus suggesting to him these fine folks were Catholic. Given Keillor's Lutheran upbringing, he remembers wondering how a Protestant boy would manage that weak time in a Catholic home. Nevertheless, his imagination led him to envision what it would be like to spend the night in his very own storm home, what it would be like to be this kind elderly couple's storm child. Keillor even imagined the kindly older couple somehow choosing him. That one, they would have said as they pointed to young Keillor. We want that boy, the one with the thick glasses. There was no great storm that year, no blizzard that would have led to the need of a storm home. Still, Keillor anticipated the possibility of spending the night there and thought to himself, blizzards are not the only storms, and not the worst by any means. I could imagine worse things. And if the worst should come, I could go to my storm home and knock on the door. Hello, I'd say. I'm your storm child. Oh, I know, the kindly older woman would respond. I was wondering when you would come. We're so glad to have you. I can't tell you. It is so good to see you. How would you like hot chocolate and an oatmeal cookie? Carl, she would call to her husband, come down and see who's here. Is it the storm child? Yes, himself in the flesh. When Jesus himself went home, God in the flesh, and read from Isaiah among the people who had known him all his life, the storms he would face were not that far off in the distance. As I said earlier, next week we'll hear how they got so angry at his preaching they nearly killed him. But today, amid this weekend's storm, we simply pause to hear him read scripture with our eyes fixed on him while God reveals himself in flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. And like the hometown folks in Nazareth, we can look back and see how early in his ministry something very holy was being fulfilled in their hearing. Jesus himself would become their and our storm home, our refuge and shelter, pulling us all close to the ancient promises of God. So close, that we would somehow become his body, the church, doing his work in the world so that others would find their shelter from the storm in him and among us. Amen.